All right. Thank you, Scott Shannon. And thanks to all of you for being with us. Here is our toll-free telephone number. If you want to be a part of the program, it's 800-941-SHAWN. Sad news out of Great Britain and Buckingham Palace as the, it's very sad, actually. The Princess of Wales, that's Kate Middleton, now obviously married to Prince William, had this announcement. She has cancer. Of course, the King Charles has cancer. William obviously now dealing with a wife with cancer and a dad with cancer. Extremely touching an emotional message that she gave, which I thought, she's 42 years old. She's got three kids. It just is heartbreaking. Listen.
I want to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body and spirit. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
Wow, just a double blow to Prince William for sure, but certainly to her. And, you can imagine she's got three young children, Linda, how devastating a diagnosis that is, especially after she thought her surgery was successful. And then she gets hit with this, bomb on top of it. On top of that, it's pretty devastating. And our prayers are with her, obviously.
Yeah, she really is just lovely. I've always liked her. It's such a weird thing, this fascination with the royals and their whole backstory, even from Diana and Charles and, all the things that happened there. And to me, she's so emblematic of the things that we all loved about Diana. She's sort of soft-spoken, focused on the kids, doesn't do a lot of schmaltzy stuff, the polar opposite of, Harry and his wife, just classy. And it just breaks my heart because she's got little kiddos. And at the end of the day, doesn't matter how rich and famous you are, cancer really doesn't care.
Nope, it doesn't. Look, it was hard. I remember my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And, watching your mother lose her hair after going through brutal chemotherapy treatments and then radiation treatments, she survived that. I think she had 19 lymph nodes impacted. It was almost a death sentence. And somehow she survived it. And then ended up with a different form years later and died from another illness.
And what's really sad about it is that when you talk to people, almost every single person has someone in their life that has had cancer that's close to them. Everybody.
I am convinced. I have a friend of mine that is real. His whole life's mission and passion, him and his wife, and they're very wealthy people, is is healing, health, and finding answers for cancer. And we've made progress on a lot of cancers. For example, lymphoma. I know that was a big charity of Russia's over the years. And, you know, Hodgkin's disease, lymphoma. I mean, if you get a diagnosis, the odds are in the 90 percentile range that you're going to be okay. But these other forms of cancer, not you're just not so sure. And they make progress and they have experimental drugs. And I think that one day science will bring us to the brink of hopefully having a cure for it or an ability to certainly map out genetic markers so that preventative measures and monitoring for early detection can take place. That would prevent a lot of death. A lot of this has to do with what stage you find the cancer in. I know people going through this right now. And I've many friends of mine, and I never hesitate to reach out to people that I know that do this for a living, that are very good at it, that know the latest information. But I'm pretty certain one day humanity will look back at how we treated cancer as like, you know, like we're living in the Stone Age and how primitive it was.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. It often frightens me. You know, I do not trust the pharmaceutical industry. I never have. And I won't go too deep into that rabbit hole, but
you don't. Well, you know, a lot of people don't, and for good reason in some cases.
It's kind of. I always remember, you know, what happened at the beginning of the AIDS, pandemic, and not pandemic, but like when AIDS first came out and HIV, and you know, nobody was allowed to try AZT, and they wouldn't. They were running across the border to try to get cures, and you know, they wouldn't let them. That whole right to try that Donald Trump gave us. You know, is so important because it is our bodies and we should be able to do all these things. And what's so funny is the same people that support all of these other efforts to let children as young as 7 and 8 make decisions that will be lifelong don't want to let you try experimental drugs to save your life. So the ironies are not lost on me that, you know, cancer medications are very expensive. Not everybody can afford them. And I don't know. I mean, it's just like I said, it's a rabbit hole. But I'm praying for Kate and for anybody suffering like that.
Amen. We'll talk a little bit more about it as the show unfolds. So I guess we have this Monday deadline as it relates to Donald Trump and the $500 million that they want him to pay. Anybody that has any, if they have an ounce of intellectual honesty in them, knows that there is such an injustice here. There's never been an aggrieved party in this civil case that the Attorney General of New York brought against the Trump Organization, Donald Trump and Don Jr. and Eric Trump. And not one person was aggrieved. You don't have an aggrieved party here. And you have a case that really is centered around the issue of valuations and what the Trump Organization put as a value for properties when they were seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in loans for big properties. That's what big corporations do. And when they were seeking insurance policies to insure hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property. And within every single contract, there was a disclaimer that says, do not use our valuations. As part of the application process, they have to include that. And the Deutsche Bank executive that actually testified in the civil case, he said as much that, well, valuations are subjective. We understand that. And any companies that's going to lend that large amount of money or insure that large amount of property, their fiduciary responsibility is obvious. It is clear. They're not going to listen to a borrower and say, OK, we'll lend you $500 million. Great. We'll just use your valuations. No. They have a fiduciary responsibility to do their own. And the worst part of this entire story is the most egregious valuation of all came from the judge in the case, Judge Engoron. Now, it's fair enough. We know the attorney general ran on a platform to go after this organization and this one person, Donald Trump, and this one family, the Trump family. Okay, she has fulfilled her campaign promise, but To what end what is the long-term impact of weaponizing a justice system? What does that do to justice in America? I mean, basically, it turns our Constitution into, you know, we might as well put it through a shredder because it's meaningless. It's really that deep and that simple and that profound in so many ways. We do have an Eighth Amendment, you know, part of the Bill of Rights. It prohibits the federal government from imposing excessive fines, excessive bail, cruel and unusual punishment. I think this would be one such case. But the judge, I've described this. I've shown it on TV. I've said it so many times on this program. All you need to do is go to Zillow or any one of these real estate websites, type in Palm Beach oceanfront or waterfront intercoastal properties, and look at the prices, because they're insane. You can get a 2-acre lot on the ocean in Palm Beach for $200 million. I know that sounds nuts, because it is nuts, but there's only so much waterfront property in Palm Beach, and it's a desirable place for many to live, and that's what the going rate is. That's what it costs. But the judge adhered to this ridiculous $18 million valuation throughout the entire civil trial. And this is after he bypassed the whole issue of a jury trial and just issued a summary judgment. The whole case was all about the punishment phase here. After he decided, no, you're guilty. Okay, let's move to the punishment part of this. And that's what we heard. So the deadline is on Monday. And you have the attorney general now taking legal steps. Now, she does not have to do this because of the jurisdiction in which this decision was rendered. That would be New York City. And that means properties that would include Trump Tower or 40 Wall Street. I mean, Trump has a lot of iconic buildings in New York. She did take the next legal step, and that was towards grabbing a Westchester golf course that the president has. And also other property that he has in Westchester, an estate that he has up there. And they have formally registered judgment from her February 16th, quote, court victory. If you want to call this a victory for justice, we have very different definitions. And it would include Trump National Golf Course in Westchester and the 212-acre estate called Seven Springs. And she's given Trump a deadline. The judge has given Trump a deadline for him to even appeal the case of Monday to post bond. Now, it's not as easy as just walking in, slapping on, it's an our property notice. There's a whole legal process that will follow. And maybe Donald Trump wants this to go through. And you watch the mob, the media, they're ecstatic. Joy Reid over at MSDNC, oh, Trump is broken, begging for money. Okay, oh, the media mocking Donald Trump. I'll play some of these montages later in the program. However, the guy that might have nailed it is a guy by the name of Frank Luntz, not exactly a big Trump fan, and saying that if Letitia James seizes Trump's assets, you're going to elect Trump. You know, the American people have a unique sense of fairness in them. They see what's happening with our justice system, whether it's the document case. Joe Biden, willfully took these documents, according to Robert Hur. We know that Joe Biden, told the ghostwriter of his book, I found more top secret documents in my basement. Let me read them to you. He doesn't have clearance. And then to conclude, well, a jury likely wouldn't convict him, even though he's saying he broke the law. He wasn't raided like Donald Trump was. Hillary Clinton, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Deleting 33,000 subpoenaed emails, and then, of course, top secret classified information all over the servers that they were able to retrieve that weren't destroyed. Now, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute, but Mar-a-Lago, raid. I mean, Americans are fair-minded, and I think Luntz is right here. And maybe that's why Donald Trump said today, yeah, I do have money in cash, and he's going to make this hard for them. It sounds like that's what his strategy is. And he has strategies. He could declare bankruptcy. There's a lot of things that he would do. I think that would probably be harmful to him and his image, because he's not bankrupt. But let them go through the hard process while he is in the middle of an appeal, when the appeal should come first. Get other judicial eyes on it that are not as ignorant as Judge Engoron. All he had to do was go to a real estate website and check out that his valuation was wrong. He was told over and over again, didn't care. That's not justice in America. That's taking your Constitution and shredding it. Reminder, MyPillow, they're passionate about making sure every American gets a great night's sleep. It all started with the original MyPillow. And after MyPillow, they focused on bedding And that's when they created their now famous Giza Dream Sheets, made from the world's best and softest cotton, most durable, the softest sheets you'll ever sleep on. I've been raving about them for years. Right now, you can upgrade your bedding and give these Giza Dream Sheets a try. Right now, you can purchase a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for just $10 more. And just go to MyPillow.com and click on the Sean Hannity Square or call 800-919-6090. Now, MyPillow, they've been canceled in many big box stores, attacked by the media. Their way of saying thank you to you, their loyal customers, is by giving you deep discounts and free shipping on your entire order today, like 60% off the original My Slippers. Anyway, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Sean Hannity Square, deep discounts and free shipping on MyPillow products today.